Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode. We're so glad you're joining us as we wrap up the Hidden Bay series with the final installment, Deadly Currents. But before we dive into our book discussion, let's talk about our question of the day. Are you ready, Jessica?
Yes.
All right. Do you have to finish a chapter before putting a book down, or are you comfortable stopping mid-page? And what about stopping mid-sentence?
I have got to finish a chapter before I put the book down. There are times, like last night, when I fell asleep mid-chapter and I had to start back over again. Because I'm like, what was I reading? Like, I don't remember this. Or mid-sentence, yeah. Unless I'm interrupted and I have to do, I've got to finish that chapter.
I am the same way. I want to be at the end of the chapter when I'm ready for the next one, when I put the book down. I only stop mid-sentence when I get interrupted. And I don't like it. And a lot of times I'm like, hold on, let me at least get to the end of this paragraph.
Yeah.
Whereas Derek can stop anywhere. It does not bother him. And he picks right up where he left off. Like, he can remember right where he was, which I don't even know how the man does it. I'm like, nope, I have to at least get to the end of the paragraph. But yeah, my preference is the end of the chapter.
Yeah, me too.
We would love to hear from you, so just let us know in the comments. Do you have to finish the chapter, or can you stop mid-page? And before we get to the reading of the back of this book, there has been a big debate amongst us as to how to say our heroine's name. It is spelled C-R-E-S-S-I-D-A. I was saying Cressida. What were you saying in your
Cressida,
head?
Cressida.
Yeah. So similar to me.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it. I don't know how to say it. So if we are saying it wrong, or if someone else pronounced it different, we'd love to know. But we're going to go with Cressida as we talk today. Mm-hmm. And we may sound really silly saying it that way, but we're going to do it. Go ahead.
Investigative journalist Cressida Dane arrives in Hidden Bay after a worldwide journey to finish her late father's manuscript on shipwrecks. As she tries to discover the story behind the ghost ship, Spectre's Bounty, her only lead is a name her father left behind, Evelyn Monroe. As Cressida uncovers more about the ship, she quickly realizes that her research has placed her in the crosshairs of dangerous forces. County Detective Brayden Sainers is in Hidden Bay for one reason: to get his niece life-saving medical treatment. To do that, he is assigned to protect Cressida from a revenge-driven enemy. Together, Brayden and Cressida dig deeper to discern the myth from the facts surrounding the Spectre's Bounty. But more is brewing under the surface than they could ever imagine. Entangled in secrets, they must unravel the past before the current sweeps away their future.
Woohoo! Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
It was a good one. Good ending to the series. And, you know, last week we talked about book two, and we both had Brayden Sainers down as a suspect at one point while reading that one. Now he's our hero. Mm-hmm. So we all know he is a good guy. Turned out to be a good guy. Mm-hmm. All right. I had to laugh at their coffee preferences right off at the start. Cressida likes her straight black, and Brayden has to have sugar in his. Most people probably read that detail and like just skim over it as a reader. But it's normally the other way around, so it totally stood out to me. Mm-hmm. But here's where I had to laugh. I'm the one that drinks it straight black all the time, like Cressida, and he generally has, he can drink it, but his preference is to have like a syrup, like a latte style.
Mm-hmm.
With his. So his has like a syrup or of some kind in it from our lovely Brew City that we love to go to in town. What did that detail pop out to you at all?
I thought it was kind of strange as I read it, and they're like, he's like, well, he's putting his sugar packets in, and and it's normally the other way around.
I know. Normally men are like, I'll just take it straight black, and we're like, we want our
fancy drinks.
Fancy drinks, and it's the other way around. But then I had to laugh because that's so much like my husband and I as well. Like, I literally drink a cup straight black every day. Nothing in it.
And I'm not a coffee drinker.
Yeah, that's right. You like the chai.
Yes,
the chai. And you like your teas.
Yes. And I like hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And Brew City has this awesome lemonade that will come out
in the summer. Yes. Their refreshers are, I think that's what they call them. They are delicious. All right. Then she just, I feel like this one, because you're in the final stage of this book, like you just like pick up and go. Don't you feel like?
Oh, yes.
But there's also this reminder right towards the beginning, because it's like page 55, where Brayden is reminded that we live in a fallen world. And therefore nothing goes as it should, because he's dealing with having to do the bidding of someone he doesn't care for, really. It basically, he's under their thumb in order for his 10-year-old niece to get her cancer treatments that she needs to just live. Right? And none of it seems fair, and we just can't wrap our minds around, like, why God lets these things happen, and we just have to trust him and remember we do live in a fallen world. So nothing is perfect here. Did you have any thoughts on that? Did that, that thought strike you, or did you read over it and didn't really stand out for you? It's okay if it didn't.
I don't remember it really standing out for me, you know.
I've just heard more and more people talk about, well, we have to remember we live in a fallen world. Like, nothing is perfect.
Right.
As it should be. It's not the Garden of Eden like it should be. So.
Right.
I loved how when they went out to eat and she went to start to eat, and he's like, hey, can I say grace for us? If you were dating a man and he did this, would it make you swoon?
I don't know if it would make me swoon, but.
I think it would make me swoon.
Yeah.
Mainly because that's what I'm looking for. Like, been married for almost 21 years now, so I'm not looking, haven't been looking, but that is definitely a quality that I was looking for when I was dating, for sure, is a man of God. And so if he's willing to, in the middle of the restaurant, go, hold on, let me say grace over the meal, it's kind of like, oh. You're one of the good guys. All right. Evelyn Monroe shoots an intruder in her house. Okay. How did you react to that scene? And if you were in her shoes, would you have been able to do that?
Well, I can't believe she did that at her age.
Yeah.
That kind of shocked me. And I don't know. I don't know if I could shoot someone else.
It's tough. You think, like, when you think on it, you're like, yeah, I could do it. But then I think in the moment, I don't know that I actually could.
Yeah.
I actually asked, and I think we're going to end up getting, like, the burner launchers. Not, like, people are not intruding in our house here. But you never know when something might happen, because those are not lethal, but they would stop or slow somebody down enough that you could probably get away. I don't know. You think you could do it, but I'm like, I don't know if I could actually pull the trigger.
Yeah. And nowadays with the way things are, like.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Except in our state, I think they have it called like the castle law or something. You have the right to protect your own, basically your property and family. So anyways, Cressida struggles with forgiving her mother because she destroyed her career, basically to keep a big secret. And her mom, that's who Brayden has to work for, is her mom. And she's like got everyone's secrets and uses them to get the things she needs, which I don't. I can. Would you have a hard time if your mother was like that?
Yeah. She ruined her career. Like, she was so successful. And instead of telling her, like, she asked her not to do it, and she kept doing it, instead of, like, tell her why.
Yeah.
And then maybe she would have stopped doing it. Not just to turn around and...
I mean, destroy. Nobody will hire her now.
No, she couldn't go anywhere. And she had worked for all these elite magazines.
Oh, yeah. She was sought after. Yeah.
And it's scary to think somebody can have that much control.
Yes. That's the other piece of it. That they can manipulate and control people to get what they want. Yeah, that is scary. But she also can't forgive her until she's about ready to die. She thinks she's going to die. And then she forgives her. But then as the story wraps up, it sounds like they really were able to make amends. Because sometimes I feel like you need that moment of, like, I'm going to die. I need to make things right. To, like, you have to be put into an extreme circumstance for God to, like, basically get a hold of you, smack you upside the head and go, wake up.
Yeah.
You got to get this taken care of.
Well, and at one point, like, when Brayden said he told Cressida everything.
Yeah.
She withheld the cancer treatment for his niece.
Oh, that ticked me off.
And he's like, what kind of control does she have over the clinic and everything? Like, what does she have, like, that she can do that?
Yeah, yeah. But I love that Cressida, because she was mad at Brayden, too. Oh. But it was more because she felt like, you weren't honest with me from the beginning, but he wasn't allowed to be, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of similar to the other two heroes. Like, I want to be honest with this woman because I think I'm falling for her, but I'm not allowed to be because he also works in government stuff. But anyways, yeah, I was really ticked. And then he was like, I'm begging you to please get a hold of your mom. My niece needs that treatment, please. And she did. She did, but she was still mad at him, but she didn't take care of it. But I would have been so mad at my mom. Like, I would have had an even harder time of forgiving my mom. That, one, you destroyed my career to protect your own secret. And two, you are holding this over his head to make him do what you want done. And you literally, when he didn't do what you wanted, you withdrew his niece's cancer treatment. Like, that is someone who's hard to love, in my opinion.
Yes. They're heartless.
Yeah.
Cold and, yeah.
I am curious who your suspects were and what your theories were about the ghost ship.
Malloy, Captain Mal.
Yep. Diggins did for a little bit.
The guy that was following
Harlan.
The Harlan guy.
Yep.
Trent, I didn't know what I thought of him.
Madeline, immediately. When we first met Madeline, I was I wonder if she's holding Evelyn prisoner.
And then, like, in the very beginning, when she went to get her stuff from the Chandlery,
those people working there.
Yeah, those two. I was like, what?
Did you settle that?
Yeah. And then Trent, I didn't know, like.
Trent made me feel uncomfortable, but I wasn't sure yet because, like,
he came into his job, but then sometimes how he treated her.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I was kind of like,
Yeah. And then, like, the fact that, like, he wanted
Brayden's job.
Yes. I don't know. So those were suspects. What were your theories on the ghost ship?
Is it really out there? Is it made up?
Yeah.
Like, how is this ship just floating around randomly? And then to say they caught it and it got loose again.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, nowadays you think they don't let those things just float around.
Yeah. And then I was like, is the crew really gone or are they hidden?
Didn't they say somebody boarded it though one time and didn't find anything?
Yeah. But I was like, are there hidden areas that the crew was hidden in? You know what I mean?
Because, yeah, I was like, where'd the crew go then?
Yeah.
If they didn't find them.
Exactly.
And, like, yeah, just didn't make
sense.
And
then I thought, is Evelyn's son still on there, but, like, running the boat, but they stay hidden? And then why would they do that? What are they out there for? I had few different thoughts on that too. All right, are we ready to do the ratings?
Yes.
Okay. Mystery level.
Latte.
Yes, there's a lot of mystery, and I kind of that's probably what kept me hooked the most because of the ghost ship and really out on it and all that. How about the suspense?
Latte.
A lot of people dying in this too. Inspiration?
Espresso to mocha.
I would agree. Again, it's a lot of those like intense moments and they're crying out, Lord help us. Drama?
Latte.
My goodness. Yes, because her mother is a piece of work. That's for sure. Romance?
Espresso to mocha.
Yeah, I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes to play at the end, like typical for her. And overall lasso rating?
3.
Yeah, I agree. 3 lassos. You're going to be hooked and hogtied when you start this series for sure. Okay. So I do have a couple questions real quick. Now that we've finished the entire series, which book was your favorite?
Oh, man. I liked book 2 and 3. They were both.
I enjoyed them all, but I think book 2 is my favorite of the series. And who was your favorite hero and heroine?
Oh, boy. Probably still Joe and Cole.
That's mine, too. Which is probably why that's my favorite book of the series.
It's a hard one between 2 and 3.
I would agree.
Yeah. They were both really good.
And if you had to live out one of the heroine's stories, which one would it be? Look at your face!
I don't like water or flying.
I know, but just pretend. If you had to live out one of their stories.
Remy's.
You do Remy's?
Remy fell out of the water. No. Joe's, probably. No. Remy. Remy
was in the plane a lot. Her helicopter a lot.
She fell in the water.
Did she?
Out of the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Helicopter, I mean. Probably Joe. I don't like being on boats. I don't like being on water. I don't like being in the air. It's a very terrible setting for me.
You do Joe's? So you said?
I think so.
I think I'd probably do Cressida. I hope I'm saying her name right.
I guess that one's probably, I don't know. She gets in the, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. It's a hard.
Hers are Joe's.
Yeah.
I think I could handle it easier than Remy's.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. All right. Would you recommend the Hidden Bay series to other readers?
Yes.
Are these books in your library?
Yes.
So those new to the podcast, by the way, Jessica manages one of our libraries around here. And typically she always ends up ordering the books we do and making sure they're on the shelf for her patrons to check out and enjoy. So if you live near her library, any book we talk about is most likely sitting on her shelves in there. So you should enjoy those. And we've been surprised how some of the books you have some men that come in that really enjoy.
It was Lynn Shannon.
Lynn Shannon's
The
books,
Triumph Over Adversity. I remember one of the workers from Albion said the men were coming in to read those and people, and they just couldn't keep them in. People were really taking them out.
Yeah.
And we have quite a few of hers out right now. And Blackburn too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The suspense people really like.
Really like that that genre. Yeah.
Well, when you think inspirational love, it was historical or Amish.
Yeah.
There was some suspense, but it wasn't like.
Yeah.
You know, but now, like some of them, they just. Yeah.
Of course, those are all contemporary. I like to think that my novels marry that suspense with the historical and the romance. I try to like pull it all in. I always tell people it's like Tombstone meets Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. Kind of like, because I've got like all that intense suspense you get in Tombstone, but then I've got the gentle side of Dr. Quinn and romance side of that mixed in. So some people kind of laugh when I tell them that. I'm like, well, I try to marry the two because I really enjoy the suspense, but I really enjoy the Wild West, right?
And speaking of it, we do book club. So Tabitha is the one that runs it, and she actually picked the cozy mystery one. But did you want to do inspirational? I'm just doing two. So these are the two I picked. I picked the first one in The Hope of Cheyenne.
Oh, yeah.
And then picked The Calculated Risk in The Triumph Over...
Oh, Triumph Over Adversity.
Yeah. So people in our book club vote.
Okay.
And whichever one gets the most votes is the one we read.
Okay.
Because she usually does three books, but we did. She goes, we'll keep it to two for each genre she picked. And I've read them already.
So you're good to go.
But I was like, these two are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
I did a historical and a modern contemporary. Yeah. So, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right. That brings us to the close of our full journey through the Hidden Bay series by Elizabeth Goddard. So we got three books, three heroines, three heroes that we absolutely love with so many twists in each story. So it's been a great series. And here's the exciting part. We're not quite done with it yet because next week we will have author Elizabeth Goddard on to talk more about behind the scenes of Hidden Bay. What was her inspiration, character choices, plot twists, and all those details you wonder about. And so you don't want to miss that one next week. So make sure you subscribe and are ready to tune in. And then speaking of connecting with authors that we love, if you've ever wanted to sit down with them yourself on like a Google Meet or Zoom call and just talk about the books that we feature here on the podcast, then consider joining our Literary Escape Book Club for just $7 a month or $70 for the year. We have lots of exclusive member benefits, and as we reach our membership goals, more and more benefits unlock. But one of the cool ones that comes out right away is the ability to sit down and talk to these authors, which I always enjoy chatting with them as well. And every new member helps us unlock those milestones, so check it out and join us. And I like that you have your members, your book club members at the library get to vote on the book. So maybe once we hit a certain point, we will let all of you guys who are members vote on what books and series we feature here on the podcast. Because our schedule, normally we are booked out a year in advance on it. Like, it's actually time for me to start filling out the 2027 series for us. And sometimes I'll be honest, we really debate, should we do this series, should we do that series? So having you guys alongside us to help pick that would be awesome. All right, and before we go, if you've read the Hidden Bay series, please drop us a comment and tell us which book was your favorite. Which heroine story would you choose to live out yourself? That's a tough question, to be honest. So storm warning, perilous tides, or deadly currents, we want to hear. So head over to our website, drop us a comment on the blog post for this episode, or go to YouTube or Rumble or Facebook or Instagram and let us know, because we like reading those responses. You can also, if you're signed up for the newsletter, you can always reply to the newsletter. And I get that email and I always reply back. And you can sign up anywhere, any page on our website, you can sign up for the newsletter. But until next time, happy and blessed reading. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.